Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
The shells being fired blindly from the abandoned German Tiger tank were causing a lot of damage to the enemy stationed at the entrance to Rajik Pass. Most of the damage and casualties came not from the shells themselves, but from tons of rock sliding down the steep slopes.
They are using that damn Tiger of yours.
I know.
How much ammunition does it have?
14 rounds.
I'm sending a force into the pass to stop it.
Beza?
Yeah, Mayor.
Take 50 men into the pass and silence that gun. Be quick. Grab the first man to hand.
Yeah, Mayor.
You see the kind of teeth our sheep have now, Major Dito. They will even use their own to bite us with.
I will see that Lieutenant Grassler gets severely punished for abandoning his tank.
That won't help us now. Look, if they can fire at us from that position, we can fire back. When you form up two or three of your tanks to fire back into the pass, I think they will be more affected by landslides than we are.
Yeah, of course.
Schneider!
Gorton!
It was Captain Saunders and Sergeant Ryan who were gleefully firing the gun of the Tiger. They had no way of knowing what damage they were causing, their action being more a gesture of defiance. After the initial shock of firing such a weapon in the close confines of the pass had passed, they were now at ease and enjoying themselves like two schoolboys with a tin can and a few ounces of carbide.
How about raising the elevation to maximum, sir?
Well, depends on how high it'll go. Let's see. Yeah, I guess that's as high as it'll go.
It won't drop the shell back on top of us, will it?
No, not high enough for that. Let's give it a try. Come on.
Yeah, that's all it'll be, sir. This is the last shell.
Okay. Are you ready?
All right. Hang on, sir. I'm not loaded up yet.
Okay, ready?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's it, Ryan. I'm a bit disappointed.
Well, it was good fun while it lasted. I wonder if we hit any of them.
My guess is that every one of those shells sailed right on past them.
Sherry's coming up, side, sir.
That's it, let's go. We must have hit something, if you ask me.
We can't just walk off and leave this tank for them, can we? I mean...
Can't you see we've blown it up? Come on, disable it then, disable
it. Yeah. We can get into the engine and smash it up a bit.
There won't be much time, but let's give it a bash.
I say, Ramsden, sounds like a real old battle going on back there.
I can't think what's happening, sir.
Maybe Jerry's found a way of getting his tanks into the pass and is giving Sergeant Ryan a whopping.
I don't see how.
I must send a man back to see what's going on. Back of my neck is prickling.
There's no way at all of sending tanks into the pass. It's possible the Tigers are firing blindly inside the pass in the hope of hitting something worthwhile.
Yes, that could be so.
Well, if Ryan and Saunders are under heavy attack, they'll send a man ahead to warn us.
Okay, Sergeant, never mind the tank.
I didn't expect them to start shooting back.
We're bringing the pass down around our ears. Let's get the hell out of here.
Won't do their own fellas very much good, though. Where are they?
About 500 yards away.
Too close for my liking. Let's get back to the barricade. Our men up the slopes can snipe and slow them down a bit.
Lieutenant Weser and his SS troopers took cover when the shells came over from the Tigers at the mouth of the pass. Some shells dropped short, narrowly missing, burying some of them under the ensuing landslides. When the shelling ceased, Weser ordered his men forward to where the tank lay uselessly askew. While his men kept a watch for snipers, he examined it. The radio had been smashed, as had everything else that was breakable. Guessing the enemy had fallen back to a defensive position, he decided to return and report to Major Scheer.
Nein, Herr Major. The bombardment did not affect the enemy.
I see. They had moved more deeply into the pass.
If I may make an observation, Herr Major, the bombardment actually created more problems for ourselves.
Oh, in what way?
The explosions have brought down many landslides, which we will have to pass. As for the tank, it will take engineers many days of clearing rubble before it could be repaired and brought out again.
Oh, yeah. Act in haste, repent at leisure. Yeah, Lieutenant Fraser, it's not a good idea.
Neither, Major.
Did you see the enemy?
No, they had fallen back. I would guess they have built a prepared position deeper down the pass to hold us while the main column continues its march to the far end.
Major Dieter is making a damage and casualty report to his brigade HQ. They will not be very pleased with him.
Meanwhile, Herr Major, we are forgiven by General Walder.
Our reputations are preserved. And if we capture the fugitives before they reach the coast, they will be much more enhanced. In fact, I don't know why I lost my temper earlier. In reality, it is quite a beautiful day. Once again, we are officially in pursuit of Major Ramsden's ragtag army. Oh, if only there was a way to slow him down. Think about it, Waiter. We could talk it over again once we have got rid of Major Dieter and his damned panzers.
He is coming over, Herr Major.
Yeah. So let us look busy, huh?
Yeah, Major.
I want you to tell Lieutenant Keller to pick 100 of the best men. Under cover of darkness, they are to probe deep into the pass and find the enemy rear guard. Their job is to overrun the position before I move up the battalion.
Yeah, Herr Major. I will see Lieutenant Keller immediately.
And what's new from your brigade HQ, Major Dieter?
I am to return as soon as possible.
I thought so.
The three tanks with broken tacks are being repaired. They should be ready soon.
Will you stay long enough to have dinner with me?
No. I want to leave within the hour. The brigade has received special orders from Berlin. I think it is possible we will be moving to the front.
Italian or to hold back the Bolsheviks?
The Italian front, I think.
You are lucky.
Yeah, I think so. There will be plans for us to hold back the British and Americans while the Wehrmacht prepares winter positions along the Po Valley. We have been expecting such an order for several weeks.
So you won't be meeting us on the coastal plain?
No. There's more important work to do instead of chasing escaped prisoners of war.
As the Wehrmacht learned on the Russian front, the most dangerous enemy is the one which operates behind the front line. What is the good of occupying a country when you can only use the large towns and main roads? It is less than half an occupation, my dear Major Dieter.
Strictly between us, I think we should withdraw from these occupied countries and defend the fatherland.
Well, yes. At least that way we can be sure of being buried in our own soil.
That is a defeatist attitude, Major Scheer.
A realistic one. With huge Allied armies attacking from the east, west, and south, it is too late for a successful defense of the fatherland. Our only solution is a political one. And I fear even that is too late.
I hope you are wrong. Even now, the Führer...
So do I. But every day that passes convinces me that I'm wrong. A man can only see the truth of a situation when he's able to strip away his patriotism and his political fanaticism. We've lived with these two blindfolds for too long, Dieter. There are some fanatics who still believe victory is possible.
I do.
Now, think about it. Think deeply. It is not what you truly believe. More like wishful thinking.
Well, I don't think we should surrender.
Better to die in the ruins, eh? Because that is what it means, you know. You younger men are the future of Germany. It is the fatherland's future to be squandered in useless bloodshed.
It is a matter of honor.
Honor? My dear Dieter. If you survive this war, you will look back after a few years and remember this conversation. The last vestige of our honor was sacrificed when we invaded Austria, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Russia. But who cared then? We were winning. ¶¶
dead on my feet when Colonel Horden ordered a halt for the night. We were in a place where the pass had widened to 150 yards, which gave us an opportunity to group in a defensive circle. Tents were erected on the dry, stony ground, and patrols sent out to scour the surrounding slopes. Almost in a daze, I helped Violetta erect the rough canvas tent. Then I lay on the ground and fell into a deep sleep. The nights were beginning to grow colder, but I slept unaware when Violetta lay beside me and her body warmth mingled with my own. In fact, I think everyone was exhausted. Well, with one exception.
Colonel, I've been looking for you.
Good evening, Lady Agnes.
I'm rather concerned about the children.
Yes?
It's getting colder, and they need more blankets.
I'm afraid I can't help you there.
But you'll have to help me, Colonel. We need more blankets.
There are none.
Since you are now commanding this column, I suggest you find a way of getting some.
Oh, be reasonable, madam. Where can one obtain blankets in the middle of this desolation?
That's Sergeant Lowe, the one who looks after the stores. I'll bet he has some tucked away somewhere.
I'm sure they will all have been issued.
I don't believe it.
Oh, I'll ask him tomorrow.
I want them tonight.
Lady Agnes, I have had a very difficult and tiring day. I was just about to sleep.
We have all had a difficult day, Colonel. I'm rather surprised that our people sent a man who can't take the rigors of a march.
Oh, madam, I can take the rigors. However, I do need to sleep sometimes. Please, if you can leave this until the morning, I'll...
What's this here? I see your bed has three blankets.
It has?
Yes, Colonel, three blankets. Really, I call that disgraceful.
But
There you are, ready to roll yourself into three blankets, while there are little mites out there rolled up in old coats and canvas.
I didn't realize.
As the commander, you should know. Now call yourself an officer and a gentleman. Those poor children could freeze to death, and you wouldn't know a thing about it. I shall see this matter is reported to the highest authority.
Madam, I am the highest authority.
Here, yes. But not where we are going. Believe me, Colonel, I'll see you roasted for this.
Oh, here, take the blanket.
I shall. Oh, indeed I shall. When you stripped them from your bed and folded them. And if you feel cold in the night, I suggest you see Sergeant Lowe and get some from him. You can bet he'll be sleeping with more than one blanket this night.
Yes, I'll see him. In fact, I'll go and see him right away.
Good. In that case, I shall go with you.
As darkness fell, Major Dieter departed with his tanks up the valleys to the north, the way he had come the previous night. Major Scheer heaved a sigh of relief and ordered Gruber to bring his dinner. While Lieutenant Keller went off into the pass with his assault force, Scheer and Weser sat down to a plate of pork and sauerkraut, washed down with the best cognac.
Well, have you any ideas?
Are you mean to slow down the Britishers?
Yeah, what else?
What Major Dieter was saying made sense, Herr Major. If a force stood by at the coastal plain, they would fall right into the trap.
Oh, damn it, Olweser. You're talking about capturing them.
We are.
I'm talking of delaying tactics, a way to keep them inside the pass. If we can do that, then all I have to do is sit and wait for them to surrender. It might take a week or more, then perhaps another week to take them to a prison camp. Here, have some more cognac to lubricate your brains.
Thank you, Herr Major. The only way to stop them is to send ahead some men to block the path that leads over the pass.
How could they get ahead of the enemy?
I don't know, Herr Major.
It would need a force of at least 50 men. But wait, perhaps not. What if this path were destroyed, blown up, made impassable?
They are?
Then they would be hopelessly trapped. It would need only three men with explosives.
You mean get this man Kozak to guide them?
Yeah, Kozak is the key to the problem. Perhaps he knows a way for a small group of men to bypass the Britishers. Yeah. If he's one of the few men who knew the path, then he must know this path like I know Hamburg's Reeperbahn.
Shall I go and get him now, Amir?
No, not yet. First, let us think this over very carefully. Where is Cosette now?
We're under constant guard, as you ordered, Herr Major.
Is he resentful?
Yeah, he is protesting about his treatment all the time.
It is difficult to put your trust in these people. Very difficult, Faisan, yet. Yeah. I think we must make him feel more at home. A resentful worker is a dangerous ally. What we must do is release Cosette and bring him here to join us. Give him a good meal and some cognac. Smother his ruffled feathers, yeah? Make him laugh and feel at ease. Then he will be happy to help us. What do you think, Reza?
Yeah, Herr Major. He is a peasant, really. A man like him will be easily pacified.
When we hear from Lieutenant Keller, then go and bring him to me. You know, Reza, I might even stoop and apologize to Cosette. Then follow up with a little flattery.
Are you asleep, sir?
No, just deep in thought.
Bartlett's just come in and he says there's movement down the pass.
He's sure?
A bit further down from the tank. They heard a sort of metallic sound like a gun striking a stone. Sergeant Walker sent Bartlett back with a warning.
Better stay on the men, too.
I've done that already, sir.
I wish we knew what we were up against. 10 Krauts or 1,000.
Well, we'll know when Sergeant Walker fires the flare. Should be any time now.
Yeah, they could be just probing to see our defenses.
If they were trying to climb the slopes and outflank us, we'd know by now.
Stern, are you there?
I'm here, Captain.
As soon as you hear any shooting, take off to the main column and let them know we're under attack.
Yeah, okay, sir.
Hey, to be quiet now, will you? Be quiet. Oh. The next man that talks gets me rifle muzzled up his left nostril. They must be past that tiger tank by now. They must be creeping along on their fat bellies.
Hey, what's that?
It means the cherries are climbing the slopes. Come on, why doesn't Walker fire his bloody flare?
Oh, that sounds close.
Here we go. Fire only when you've got a target, lads. You see them, Captain? Oh, we caught the blighters with their ruddy pants down there.
Some of them are starting to climb down the slope.
Carter, the bloody grenades! Oh, the lads will like this. It's like shooting them targets at the funfair's call.
Lieutenant Keller had led his men into a deadly trap. Most were caught on the floor of the valley when the white flare illuminated the scene. Ryan's men, perched on the slopes, could see everything. And with rifle fire and grenades, they caused havoc among the startled German force. Some ran deeper into the pass and were caught in deadly machine gun fire from the barricade. Others tried to take cover up the slopes and were easily picked off by careful sniping from the opposite side. The lucky ones were those who fled back the way they had come until they were out of range. Lieutenant Keller was one. When he had reformed his group, there were only 11 left. 3 of whom were wounded. In the distance, the third flare flickered and went out, and a black silence fell once again over the veil of darkness.
Yeah, sir. That'll teach them to keep their bloody distance.
Yeah, well done, Sergeant. I don't think we'll see them again tonight. All the same, keep your men at their posts. You never know.
Hey, you lot, this isn't a party. Keep your voices down, will you?
Okay, guys.
I don't know. You'd think they'd won the bloody war.
Look, you'd better find out our casualties.
We didn't have none. I'd have known before now if we had.
There'll be a lot of Germans wounded.
Well, they'll have to stay out there, sir. Can't risk my own men's lives looking after them, you know.
No, I guess.
Sometimes they only pretend to the dead or wounded. And as soon as we approach...
Yeah.
You take half a dozen with them. Even worse in the dark.
Oh, I suppose you're right.
And I think you're wrong about them having another go tonight. I bet when the survivors get back, their commander will be so hopping mad he'll send out another lot. And you can bet them fancy soft boots of yours that they'll be ready for us.
You think they'll really do that, Ryan? I mean, after all those losses...
They got 6,000 men, sir, maybe more. So what's 100 or so?
Yeah.
Maybe next time they'll come in thousands and, and just try and overrun us by sheer weight of their numbers.
Well, we've no prepared position to fall back on.
Well, we don't need them, sir. We're not going to fall back. Look, I'm sorry, sir. I know you were put in command, but you're not exactly a soldier, are you? I mean, what am I to say?
It's okay, Ryan, I know. Me, I'm an Air Force pilot, and I can see strategy is your forte.
My what?
You're good at strategy.
Oh, yes, well, my dad spent 6 years ambushing the English in the streets of Dublin.
What?
He taught me a lot, that did, you know.
And here you are fighting for the English, huh?
Not fighting for them, sir, only with them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a soldier, and we English, Irish, Scots, and the Welsh, we sticks together when these stupid continentals start getting sort of uppity. And what happens in Ireland? It's our business.
Yeah, Ryan, of course.
We just like a good fight, that's all. There's no harm in that. It's in the blood, you know.
Yeah, we know all about you Irish guys.
When the Itais like singing, the Germans, they like strutting around, taking orders and playing noisy music. The French like eating funny food.
Now, hang on there.
Please, no, the Scandinavians, too. They like running around with nothing on, you know, those nudist fellas in the snow, rolling about and bashing themselves with twigs and all that. It's called national character. Well, we Irish like our bloody good shenanigans.
Shenanigans?
Yeah, we're hooligans, all of us at heart.
Okay, so tell me, what would a hooligan do in a situation like this?
Ah, now there's the question. Well, sir, it'll take an hour for them juries to get back and report what's happened.
Yeah?
And then, say, a couple of hours for them to organize a bigger assault force. I think we should leave half a dozen men here and go down the pass to a nice, narrow spot nearer to the entrance.
What?
And then when they come marching in, bam, we'll give them hell.
Now, wait a minute, Ryan. You mean walk right into them?
If we move now, we can be there before they leave. Oh, we can save them a long walk.
Eighty-nine men,
Faisal. Oh, no, I can't believe it.
The Britishers were waiting for them.
But so many men.
Keller reports that the enemy were positioned up on the slopes. Our men had no cover.
It was dark.
The enemy used flares.
And we were here thinking all that noise was Keller's men overrunning them. It is time we taught them a lesson, Faisal.
Yeah.
It was badly twice before the truce, and now once again. We must give them good reason to fear us, yeah.
They will not expect us to attack again tonight, Hemayor.
Yeah, but to just march blindly into the pass would be dangerous. Keller says the enemy was high on the slopes.
Yeah?
Light can still be our friend. If we send two assault groups along the slopes, we could be in a position to attack before it gets light.
It will be very difficult to move along the slopes, Mayor. They are very steep.
It will be slow and arduous. There are still 6 hours of darkness. We will use everything, flamethrowers included. 1,000 men, Vesa.
Is this man, Kozak? He could help us.
Yeah. Have him brought to me after you have detailed Lieutenants Keller and Gerber to form two storm groups. But Kozak must not be told of what has happened in the past. We will butter him up, as I suggested earlier, then find out whether our men can move along the slopes.
Yeah, Herr Major.
And with a smile. We need to give Kozak a good impression.
Major.
He will only be an ally for as long as he believes we are invincible.
The Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Littenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting, and brought to you on Springbok Radio.